Hello, everybody, and welcome to Shaman Sister Sessions, episode 114. I'm Michelle Hawk, and I'm here with my dear shaman sister, Catherine Bird. And today we are so excited to talk with you about shape-shifting your practice. This is something that I'm currently in the process of right now, actually. And I know I've gone through multiple times before in my business. Kat, you've gone through this, I know, multiple times in your business as well. And if you are here called to do this deep level soul work and be in integrity with how your practice wants to serve in the world, I can pretty much guarantee that you have gone through this process at some point in your work too. So we're here to talk about what that's like, all of the uncomfortable, squeezy parts of that, and also the liberating, freeing, amazing power that can come with what it's like to live within a living entity of your practice as it wants to shapeshift in the world. I'm excited. How are you,
Kat? That's great. Thanks. Yeah, this is part of the work. I think that we've discussed before about how sometimes we think that our healing practice is almost this separate thing from us in some way, instead of seeing it as the instigation and the teacher, the mentor of our own spiritual development and growth. And so we would never expect that our spirit, I mean, I would never expect, maybe some people expect that their spiritual development and growth will somehow become this space where nothing is new. I don't,
there's going to be the same thing.
They're going to do the same thing every single day. I mean, maybe there's some people maybe who are like, well, I'm just going to do the same practice every single day. And it's just going to be the same result. And I'm going to do the same thing and have the same teacher and the same everything for the rest of my life. And that's where I'm comfortable.
I don't know any of those people.
So, you know, we're like, okay, I'm on this path and it's going to work me a little bit. I'm going to evolve and grow and have new teachers. And here we have this long-term deep relationship with this spiritual teacher and guide. Yeah. And so that spiritual teacher and guide, just like any good spiritual teacher and guide, is going to challenge you, is going to confront you, is going to ask you why you're doing what you're doing. And hopefully give you inspiration and support in order to evolve and grow. So here we are. We've been talking a lot recently about the entity of the business, the entity of the practice that we have as practitioners. And so this is another piece of that relationship as we're in relationship with this practice that we have, that it is on its trajectory of growth and evolution and bringing its work to the world. And we're in collaboration with it. And so of course, just like any relationship, there's gonna be change. And sometimes that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Kat, I love how you're positioning the entity of the business as a guide, mentor, teacher in part of that spiritual practice. Because, you know, for those of us who are in business and have this type of relationship with our work, like we feel that, we know what that's like is, oh God, my business is asking me to do this thing. Just like an embodied, you know, human mentor would be asking you to grow and expand your practice and expand your service in a certain way. You know, when we have these living entities of our business that have their own life path and purpose and our practice, they ask the same thing of us. So I was thinking, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, because as I mentioned, I'm in one of these periods right now. I am currently shape-shifting and it's wildly uncomfortable. And yet it's impacting every area of my life. Honestly, I'm like moving stuff around in my house. I'm like, well, I have to set up a different altar and I have to like, you know, clear up this space to be in this way. And I have to rearrange the office and I have to buy different clothes. And like this whole life experience of shape-shifting myself and my practice to hold this new frequency. And I'm a little bit less uncomfortable than I was probably a few weeks ago, I think. I was definitely in some squeezy sort of space for quite a while. And now I'm in, definitely still having some pressure around that around that experience. And Kat, I want you to share the resistance is fertile thing with people, because I think that'll be super great. Kat shared this thing with me that blew my mind a little bit, and it was awesome. But looking at now, I feel like I'm getting to play a little bit more in that experience. And again, I've been through this process enough times in my life that I know what it's like. I know what it's like to totally shapeshift. I know what it's like personally and professionally. I've lived many lifetimes already on this planet, just in terms of who I am as an individual and who my practice is. And yeah, let's talk about what some of those pieces are of what is it like to shapeshift your practice.
Yeah, well, I think that we talk a lot about cycles of energy and the process of showing up to be in alignment with cycles of energy. We've done a lot of episodes where we've talked about that. And so here it is again in our, everything that we do is connected to these different cycles of energy that are operating on the day and the week and the month and the year and over our lifetime. And so we are going to have these cycles of energy in our business too. And that's really uncomfortable, almost I think more sometimes for people than like a personal cycle, because we become so wrapped up into our identity in who we are as a practitioner, or mm-hmm. our certain financial stability as a practitioner, and what we're creating, our community, that we have a community that we feel has stabilized, and we have a message, we have a something that people are used to identifying us as, or our message as the thing that we're doing. And then we start getting this message that we're supposed to do something different, you know, take some time off. And maybe you can talk about, you took a lot of time off last year, you were being called to that, and taking some time off, or changing the business altogether, having a new name, having a new message, changing things up completely. It's complete identity destroying,
yeah.
Which is part of our spiritual development to, you know, we build these identities and then they somehow do become something that we're also letting go of in some way to make room for something else. And that's just so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So uncomfortable.
It like, no matter how many times we do it, I think there's, and you know, granted, I might be saying that currently because I haven't figured out how to do it yet from a place of total relaxation, but you know, just to walk you through, I want to like walk people through a little bit of how many transitions and total shapeshifts I've been in my business. So I started my business in 2009 while I was still in university. I was just finishing up university, and I had started studying and practicing shamanism while I was still in high school, while I was in university getting my degree in biology, animal physiology, and behavior. So I was doing the science thing, and I was also studying and practicing Reiki. So when I started my business, it was because I was already doing animal healing. I was doing animal communication and animal healing work, because I love animals and I was really called to serve animals, and it made sense to me. And then people wanted to pay me for it. So I was like, well, okay, I guess I can make money doing this thing that I really love doing. So I'll start a business. And that was how I became an entrepreneur. I didn't have a business plan or anything at all. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that way of doing it, but whatever, however spirit calls you is totally fine. And then, and I was really firmly of the belief, like, okay, I'm only ever going to work on animals. I don't ever want to work on people. People are complicated. Ugh, people, ugh. You know, there are enough people helping people. People don't need me. And so I had this resistance around working with humans. But then as I was doing animal communication and psychic work and energy work, then I had people, the animals people start asking me, well, can I have a session? What's that like? Can I, you know, this result that you're giving my animal is so amazing. Like, I want a healing session. So I was like, all right, fine. Okay. I'll work on people, but I don't ever want to teach this. I'm fine just doing the work. And then people started asking me predictably to teach them how to do this energy healing and how to do this psychic process. So I started teaching. And meanwhile, I wasn't ever talking about my shamanic work. It was sort of behind the scenes and it would come through in my sessions, but then people started wanting shamanic instruction. I was like, okay, fine. I guess I'll start teaching shamanic practice. And so I did. And then that shape shifted into doing more work with alchemy. And now the process that I'm in right now is bringing forward the work that I've been keeping under wraps for about 4 years, which is dragons. We haven't done an episode on that yet, but it will be coming soon, probably within the next handful of episodes, where I'll actually come out as the dragon queen that is being asked of me right now. But one of the really interesting points is that at every point in my evolution, in the shape shifting, it was not that everything was lost, and it wasn't that I was getting rid of those old aspects of my work. It's just that they were building the foundation that I needed in order to take that leap to the next level. So I had the psychic practice really strongly, and then I had the energetic practice really strongly. And then I brought in the shamanic work to support the deep underworld transformative aspects. And then that set the foundation for alchemical teaching and philosophy and practice. And now that's setting the foundation for working with dragons, who are these incredibly powerful guides and teachers that my system would not have been capable of handling. And I wouldn't have been able to support my clients if I just started out with dragons. So everything has built upon itself, and the resistance at every step of the way has been part of that energy that has allowed me to make that shift.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why resistance is fertile.
Yes.
Because at every moment there was that resistance of, I don't actually want to do this. And that resistance that we're feeling, that's the place where we get the friction, and the friction is how we create traction to jump off and go to the next place, to get a foothold to the next level. And so when you're feeling all of this resistance, it's celebrate the resistance, celebrate the discomfort of how resistant you are to this thing that is happening, and know that there's something that you're jumping off toward. You might not know exactly what it is yet, or you might just be in resistance of what it is, and you know exactly what it is now.
Yeah. You might be where I was, and kicking and screaming and like putting it away and saying, it's gotta be something else. It can't be that. No.
Yeah. And also you were definitely listening. I think it's important to mention, you know, I was talking about you taking some time off last year, and also you were highly instructed around your embodiment practices, especially the last year, but over a year of very much becoming more and more and more embodied and building the physical strength and vitality that is a requirement of the kind of work that you're doing now.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like your mission and your purpose and what you're bringing through is going to be instructing other things in your life. And you might not understand right away the reason that you're being guided to do what you do, but yet there you are. I feel like I was guided to come to New Mexico, and that it had a lot to do with the opening and development of my practice and changing things and having access to new energies and these pieces, which are part of my purpose, which I was also resistant over. And Michelle probably gave me like 20 different card readings with me trying to figure out how to not have to move to New Mexico.
Yeah, there was no way she wasn't going. It was very, very clear. Like, as much as I'd love for you to move to Portland and hang out here with me, that's not happening. So, but yeah, resistance. And you were very resistant, like all up and down for a long time. And, you know, I think it's interesting. So we keep like nudging each other to talk about things. So I want to nudge you to talk about your year where you were traveling a lot, right? As this really like deep preparation for, and you know, we don't have to talk about the year. We can just say it happened, right? There was a year where there was a lot of traveling. And last year, 2020, I took most of 2020 as kind of a sabbatical year where I was serving my existing clients. I was not really putting anything out, or if I was putting something out, it was sort of a beta test situation, which actually I was beta testing dragon stuff behind the scenes. P.S. Now, you know, I've come out and said it. I've been like secretly working on dragon stuff for the last, you know, a couple of years behind the scenes and just not really telling people. But it was all very deep preparation in order to cultivate the container for what is now coming through. And I think you were in a similar experience.
Yeah. And I was traveling around following these messages to go places this often didn't make sense, and receiving the initiations and the some strange pieces that we're hooking up and hooking together that still feel like they're coagulating together in this thing that's emerging. And even seeing now, having, you know, this strange things where you don't realize, oh, right, when I was in, you know, this, it was, I was in Greece and I was having these really deep, deep initiations and remembrances and things. And then now it's kind of like circling back, and I have this guy showing up who's like coming from this, like these traditions and lineages, and talking about these things that were happening there. It's definitely strange, right? It's like, okay, I guess that's what I was doing and didn't really fully grasp everything. Because sometimes when I'm getting a message or I'm getting a initiation, we did a episode on initiatory experiences, I believe. But when I'm having those experiences, sometimes it's just this powerful energetic experience where maybe I'm having some visions, maybe I'm feeling things reorganizing inside my system in some kind of way. I'm having an emotional response. I'm having something that feels like I'm remembering something. And yet it's not so clear, as a lot of people, if you hear them describe what they're experiencing. And I could describe it in a way where you would think that I knew exactly what the fuck I was talking about. Uh-huh. I could totally make you believe that I know everything that's going on. On this podcast, like, let's just get real. Like, some of these things we're experiencing are so beyond what our rational mind is capable of integrating in that moment. And it takes months, sometimes years, to fully get what was occurring, you know, in an initiation or in a remembered energetic soul experience. Mm-hmm.
But then we have the shape shifting into that, and then we get the, you know, the 2020 hindsight, right?
Right.
And like, yeah. And I have always found that to be the case. Like, honestly, it's been, you know, really, I've been through it enough times where I know now, like, okay, when I'm this uncomfortable, like there's something big happening and it's going to be good. And it's just like, I'm being squeezed for a minute, but it's totally fine. And I'm able to support myself through that experience. Whereas, you know, years ago when I would have that and be like, oh God, I'm dying and everything is terrible. And, you know, thankfully I recognize it now, but you know, one of the really fun parts about it is getting to look back and say, oh, that's what that was about. I get it now. Okay. Now I've anchored that in enough pieces have fallen into place where I can identify what the reasoning for that was. And it's only through the shape-shifting that we get to have that experience. Because if we resist the shape-shifting, or if we're saying, you know, no, I really want to, you know, for whatever reason. And Kat, I love that you brought up also the like traditional entrepreneurial wisdom that we hear about. You have to stay in your niche and keep consistent. Mm-hmm. And we hear a lot of messaging from the business world about you need to prioritize stability of your income. You need to, stay predictable to your clients so they keep paying you. You need to like stay in your, you know, whatever is working for you, keep doing it. And, you know, I got to tell you, as a soul aligned practitioner who's working and collaborating with this living entity, like that is not always up to me. And there will be, I know that because I'm choosing to run my business this way, and because I'm choosing to have this, you know, very soul aligned experience, there will be times when I don't have money coming in because I'm changing the way that I'm offering my work and I don't have anything to sell people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because that's how I am in agreement with my work. But then there are other times when I have a lot of money coming in and it's great. And I just know that their this type of conversation. It's really a conversation with my work. And if my work is asking to take a year off, I need to listen. And if my work is asking to say, you know, hey, we need to do something differently, then I need to listen to that too.
Yeah. And those messages, they come in and then you're like, okay, sometimes it feels incomplete. Sometimes it's like, you just get a little taste of what the message is. And you're like, oh, so what does that look like? You know, and then you're off looking for what the next piece is. Okay, what does it look like for me to, you know, I think like you are getting a message of being a warrior, having a warrior body and becoming a you know, embodied and strong into that next level. And then you had to go through the actual legwork of figuring out what the heck that meant. And then finding a coach that was coaching you in that specific way and investing your time and energy and money and educational, you know, moments and resources into focusing on that part. Even though, as far as your business goes, there's not a reason for you to start lifting weights, yeah. Right? It's like, it might seem unrelated. It might seem like it's not related. And that's one of the pieces around when we talk shit about business coaches, and sometimes that seems like what we're doing. We don't mean to do that. But sometimes the thing that's going to support your practice the most, that's actually going to prepare you for the initiation that you're going through, is something that has nothing to do with your business, supposedly on the surface.
Yeah. And then you figure out later.
Yeah. But it's like leaving a relationship or leaving a house, or, you know, I've had
that experience.
Right. Moving to New Mexico, going traveling, even when I was going traveling, I was like, why am I doing this? I actually don't really love traveling for and not having a home to come back to. Why am I doing this? This is highly uncomfortable. This is not actually what I want to do. Why am I doing it? And I just kept getting the message, this is what you're supposed to do. So,
yeah. Will you, Kat, I kind of gave the outline of like various shape-shifting moments in my practice. Will you walk us through some of yours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that my relationship to a lot of this was interesting because I struggled so much at the beginning of how to relate to being a healer, how to relate to my work, how to relate to who I was. And I spent a lot of time sort of kind of trying to find I was trying to find like something that fit into my own consciousness of what was possible, because I don't think I knew what was possible. And at first I was doing a lot of work with herbs and plants and alchemy. And it's funny because Michelle's like, da 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 da, alchemy. And I was like, alchemy, da 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 da. And the alchemy really helped me to train and discover other parts of myself and to open to other work. And then I was like, well, if it means to be a healer, then I need to study some kind of modality. And I had somebody show up and say, hey, here's a modality. You should totally go train in this modality. And even though I didn't want to do it, I was asking my guides, am I supposed to do this? I don't want to do this. I don't want to go and travel and do this. And I was told, this is part of the path. This is not the thing, but this is part of the path and you're going to go do it. So I went and studied and did structural body work, really deep structural body work, and then hands-on modalities and massage and these pieces, and then started studying energy work. But the whole time I was doing channeling and shamanic work, just I was so afraid that somebody would find out that's what I was doing. I was so scared from the very beginning of all of the really intense things that happened to me during my awakening that someone would actually see what I was. And I was trying so hard to hide it. And I would let it come out in sessions somewhat. And over time, it became more and more. And then I really reached a place where I had to change. And I knew I had been told, I mean, I had been told for years that I was supposed to channel in front of groups of people, that I was supposed to be a leader and do these different things. And I did not want to do any of those things at all. And I felt very like my hand was forced into them in a certain kind of way. And at one point, my hands, all the way up to my elbows completely swelled up and I couldn't move my hands. And I was given the message that you can't hide anymore, because I was hiding behind physical bodywork. And so I finally, at that point, I realized that I had to make a deeper commitment. And so I spent a lot of time at that time just committing and committing and committing and committing. And I had been committing for years that this was what I was going to do. I just didn't want anyone to know about it. And somehow I thought that I could be completely committed to this path and no one would know, no one would see it, no one would find out. And then I had to come out of the closet and I had to change the way that I was talking about my work. I had to tell my clients, I'm not doing this kind of work anymore. If you want to still be my client, it's going to look like this. Yeah. And that was radical. You know, it was intense to go through that process and change. And then I have had messages where I got a message that I needed to do men's work and have a men's coaching business. And so I did that for a while, for a few years with another practitioner. And then the different things that I've been guided to teach, to teach channeling was really, I mean, that was just like, oh, horrible, horrible to have to get that was what I was going to do. You know, even just as far as this year, this winter, I was getting the message that my work needed to reach a lot more people, like thousands and thousands of more people. And I needed to build structures to do that. And then I got the message that I needed to do a business course for practitioners. And that was so triggering. I didn't want to do that at all. So pretty much all along the journey, it's uncomfortable. It's constantly has been like triggering. And I know too, even just now, even though our work here, like we have this podcast, and it really is designed for those that are on the path, right, on this path, but also we talk a lot to practitioners. And yet for a long time, I didn't want to admit that I just work with practitioners. You know, I didn't want to close the door on helping other people. I didn't want to limit myself somehow. And yet that's obviously what I'm designed to do.
Yeah.
So it's highly uncomfortable. I feel like right now I'm being squeezed and worked, and I'm feeling a huge amount of resistance to what's showing up in my life and asking me to change parts of myself in order to engage with something more. It's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Really? And yeah. Because it also means that stepping up to the next level, it means declaring different parts of self. It means declaring more, you know, in certain ways, sometimes it's like declaring value and worth and significance of something that maybe feels a little like, really, do I have to say that? Do I have to tell people that? You know, and the messengers are like, this is what you're supposed to say. Yeah. And like, not really. Am I supposed to say that? That seems quite like a lot.
Right. Or egoic, or like One of my things that I'm doing the really, really, I have to say that is that, you know, something that the dragons, and okay, so this is the first time I will say, here I am coming out and like speaking this publicly, and I'm like sweating now. Okay. Oof. We're going to have a vulnerable moment of coming out moment here on Showman Sister Sessions, and you are the first to hear it. And it's funny. I'm like, oh my God, I can't even say it now. Okay. And it's not a big deal. It's fine. It's fine. Okay. So the dragons are part of the identity, and Kat's just laughing at me. Okay.
Yeah, because if you're only listening just to audio, Michelle's definitely turned red.
Right. I'm like definitely sweating and definitely
like her, not just her face, her whole body.
So, okay. So I'll step back a moment and tell you, this is what it looks like to commit to the shape shifting. And okay, before I say the thing, I want to say, and I'm not avoiding it, Kat, I love what you were saying about commitment. And it's so funny how we think like, oh, we can commit to the path, but have conditions upon that commitment. Mm. And that's not true. Right. And I've been in that position before, right? Where I'm committed to my healership, but I'm not going to do that. I'm committed to this, this really deep trusting relationship with spirit where I'm following my guidance and I'm doing what is asked of me, but not that. That's not how it works, people. I've been there. Kat's been there. And, you know, we're either all in or we're not. And this, again, the choice is up to you. We're not saying, or I'm not putting value judgment on either way. I know there are people who are choosing to do their practice in the way that is comfortable for them. And it does help people and it serves and they're good at what they do, but they're not all in terms of the evolution that is asked of them. And I know people like that. I have some of those people as, you know, friends and collaborators in some regards, and people that I know and people that I've served, and they're good at what they do and they love it and it works and it serves them. But I've heard them say no to bigger asks from their work, and that's fine. But I'm here to be all in, and Kat's here to be all in. And if you're here to be all in too, then we don't get to have conditions on what we're doing. Now I have to say the thing. Okay.
Do you want to like talk about what you had for breakfast or anything?
No. I'm saying like this is me not having conditions on it. And it's like, this is one of those moments where it's like, okay, spirit has been having me speak this name or speak this term. And I've been judging the fuck out of it. This is me looking at like, you want me to call myself what now? But like doing it privately, like what you were doing, channeling privately in your work, but not, you know, oh, I'm committed, but I'm not going to tell anyone about it. Right. And this was me saying, okay, behind the scenes, I'm this thing. And when I'm doing the work with the dragons, I'm this thing, but fuck all. I don't want to say that to people because it comes off like egoic as all get out, you know? So the thing that the dragons have been asking me to step into, and the thing that they have been, having me use to invoke, where it is as the Dragon High Queen of the Order of the Blue Rose. And that is the identity that I am holding for and that I have been asked to hold. And I'm so hot now, my face is burning. But it's like, that is the identity of that I'm being asked to step into. And obviously there is resistance, that there's this much heat in my body about this thing, because I know that that currently I'm not living like that. Currently there are parts of me that are not living as the Dragon High Queen of the Order of the Blue Rose. And that in order to commit fully, I need to change some things about how I'm organizing my energy, about how I'm, you know, what I dress like. Like, it's hard to be the Dragon High Queen when you're wearing workout clothes and dog park clothes all the time. So, okay. Dressing.
Can't wait to see you at the dog park in the Dragon High Queen outfit.
I can wear the dog park clothes, but I have to come home and change. Like, I can't just wear the dog park clothes all the time at home, right? So it is, you know, it's requiring just some looking at my lifestyle and looking at, you know, the way in which I'm holding myself and how I'm prioritizing like everything, right? Like my time, my energy, my money, my relationships, my home, all of these places are asking for a little bit of reorganization to hold this frequency. And it's obviously triggering, right? For me to have that response, just sitting here on video talking with Kat, who I know and love very well and trust, and knowing that, oh my God, it's this thing. It's, there's some part of me that is saying, oh, fuck no, to that experience. But I know that I am committed, and I'm committed enough that I'm going to keep showing up, and I'm going to tell people, and I'm going to do the thing. And eventually it won't be triggering anymore, because I will have shape-shifted to hold that identity.
Yeah. And I think it's important to put into context here the length of time that this has been emerging for people, because a lot of times we kind of get the initial initiation or the message or whatever, and then we struggle with it, or with our understanding of it, or with the way that we're relating to it, or how we're creating it in like the real world manifestation of, oh, now it's this program or this retreat or this, you know, way that I do sessions. And for different people, that can take a really long period of time. And I know that you were receiving a dragon initiation, and it, I remember, like, it was a full year to the next, you know, year mark of that dragon initiation that you were like getting this next piece. And, you know, it's like, this is long-term. This is our life. This is a lifelong pursuit. This is a lifelong journey and growth. And so I think that it's important for us to realize the length of time on these trajectories sometimes is different for different people and different things and different things you're stepping into and emerging into, just to have the awareness that it's not necessary to beat the shit out of yourself if you're not immediately able to own and declare the thing that it is. I know that when I was receiving that I was supposed to be channeling in front of groups of people, it probably took, I mean, definitely over 5 years, definitely many more than 5 years. So yeah, over 5 years before anyone actually saw that happen.
And then another, what, five-ish years before you started teaching it?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So and same for me. And it's funny, Kat, I remember we did, I forget which episode it was, but we were looking at the lag time. It might've been the initiation episode where we're looking at the lag time between like how long before, or no, it was like how long, no, it was a soul aligned business one. Cause it was, what's the time period between having an idea and like translating it into an offering, right?
Right.
And you were talking about how you percolate on these things for a long time. And for me, I was saying, well, I tend to have an idea and it sort of manifests right away. But I will say that's not the same as the lag time for identity integration, right? Mm-hmm. So
that's super important to make that distinction.
Yeah. And they're so different because I feel like people say like, oh, well, you have, and I think this is important to look at, like you have an initiation. That doesn't mean that that's your identity right away.
No, it is, like, it's not.
It takes a long time, honestly. And I look at, you know, all of these evolutions in my business. I walked you through, you know, the animal thing, energy healing, shamanic practice, alchemy, dragons. Like those are the very broad strokes layers of that. And for every single one of those, I was integrating that identity behind the scenes for probably the shamanic one took the longest, I think, before I started telling people. I was studying and practicing for about 10 years before I started actually talking about it and telling people. Yeah. And everything else, probably at least 4 years. Like the dragon stuff, like my first layer of dragon initiation was about 4 years ago. And I've like sprinkled little bits and pieces here and there, and I was beta testing some stuff, but for me to actually start coming out with it now, it might seem sudden, but it's been percolating behind the scenes for a really long time. The thing is, after it's been percolating for a long time, I have an idea and I put it into action really quickly. But that doesn't mean that it's a new energy.
But it's the ideas based on the integrated identity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Very important. So if you're watching this and being like, oh, I don't remember that from that episode, now like go back and look at the context and be like, all right, so they're not just making shit up out of thin air. Okay.
Yeah. I think that this is really important. Like I want to highlight it and underline it and stick it on the wall. Like that this identity piece is so important as to how long that takes. And then the ideas that are formed from that identity can have a different incubation period.
Yes.
So to have awareness of that and that you're, but also within context of that, to look at the interesting piece around, oh my gosh, well, these ideas that I was having while I still was holding this old identity structure, are those ideas actually still functional for me?
Yeah.
And I think that that's where this piece where we talk about the discomfort of when you realize that the ideas that were amazing and great and really helpful and maybe made you good money and whatever, built on your old identity might not fully survive the, and they might change. They might still survive in a different way.
Yeah.
But the willingness to maybe let go of some of the old ideas and to maybe let go of some of the pieces or be willing to see how that they can transform and change.
Yeah.
And how do you work with the evolving identity inside of maybe some of these ideas as far as maybe programs or different things that you're creating over time. And I know for me, I see that as, because I have programs that I run every year and have been for a while, and I am radically changing. And so there is that question for me as to how do I continue to engage with what I've already created in a way that is in alignment with my current identity. And so I know that by running my live calls change, even though I'm running maybe the same course with the same content, the way that I structure and teach inside of my live calls, or the way that I lead inside of the live calls, or what I'm focused on inside of the live calls is very different from what I was doing a couple of years ago.
That's great. And it gives you that structure to maintain what works and what's really good and what has served people and what is continuing to serve, and also have the freedom and the flexibility to show up as your current self, as you are in this moment from this identity that you have shape-shifted into. And I feel like it's really nice. I want to look at like, what does that give our clients then? If you do keep some of these offerings, and if, you know, in your case, I know, was Healer's Process the first course that you created that you were still delivering? Yeah. So Healer's Process, Open Your Channel.
Empaths, and now Aligned Practitioner.
Okay. Those are all of Kat's program and Heroes now.
And Heroes, which is my membership.
Right. There you go. That's Kat's evolution and trajectory. And I know that, you know, first of all, just Kat has really smart business acumen in terms of how she has created the systems and structures of those to allow her to do this. And I know that the way that you are when, or the way that you were when you were creating Healer's Process is very different from how you are now. And yet I think it's really important for someone coming into Healer's Process to be engaging with those materials, but also to see, hey, this is what's possible. Or this is an example of what's possible as you continue to shapeshift and as you continue to grow in your practice, being able to receive from the medicine of where you were anchored in that moment, but then also look at, oh, holy crap, like there's so much more growth that I can do, and be able to move through that trajectory, that really beautiful path that you've created for people to move along that lineage, right?
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, we are going to have to always teach the, you know, the beginning. We can't just teach the end. We might just mess people up if we only teach them the end. You know, we have to meet people where they're at and to give them that journey and that process of being able to own. I think that one of the pieces around my work that is a reflection of this is that I'm always attempting to help people to find their path and their medicine and their way of receiving or healing or channeling or running their business or, you know, engaging with their personal practices, that it is about them doing their thing as much as it is about me teaching them all of these tools and techniques and practices and all of these things. It's like, well, but wait, what about you? What about your path? And how does this fit? And how do you emerge through this path? Instead of it being this concrete thing, that's just like, this is the way you do the thing. And this is the only way you do the thing. And that's it. Which if I engaged with it that way, it would keep me stuck.
Yeah. And that's where I think, you know, when I was mentioning some of these people who choose to participate in, you know, kind of the same work and, you know, they're good at what they do. Again, these are, for example, like the Reiki masters who've been teaching Reiki for 25 years, right? Like they're really, really good Reiki teachers. And also, are they shape-shifting? And, you know, in that case, the agreements that they have with their work can be different, right? We're looking at commitments and agreements. In that case, I think, and I know people like this who are deeply, deeply committed to that particular lineage. And that is their service. And they are a steward of the lineage. They are here to bring people into the lineage and to support people in anchoring in the frequency of that lineage. And then when their students are ready to step into the next phase, then they usher them out and along the path, right? So it's like they're a station along the path. Ooh, I had a cool visual. All right. So here we're talking about, you know, and I want to say like all of these pieces are vitally important, right? Like these people who are anchoring in these teachings and these lineages and transmissions are just so, so vitally important. You know, I've had teachers like that. Kat, I know you've had teachers like that. If you're here, you've probably had teachers like that. And, you know, and it's almost the difference between here you are as a waypost along the path versus here someone is walking in front of you and showing you the next step on the path and you're following the person, right? You know, and they're both important.
Yeah.
And it's just what kind, how do you want to be in service? And do you want to, you know, anchor in a certain point on the path and hold space for all those who are passing through? Or are you walking and are you showing people where to go?
Yeah. And neither one is more important than the other.
No. And I also, like, people can do both, not at the same time, but, you know, like it is possible to, you know, be walking and be like, okay, I'm gonna anchor in this for a while. And you do this practice for years. And then it's like, okay, time to walk. All right, now we're walking this way. Okay, great. Oh, maybe I need to stop again. And I need to spend some time anchoring in this frequency. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, so what are our tips then? What are our supportive suggestions as people are moving through this?
Hmm. Trust yourself and your practice. I would say, let's start with listen, right? Listening.
Listen, yeah.
And believe what you are hearing.
Yeah, that's a big piece, is actually believe it. Notice the resistance and celebrate it.
Resistance is fertile instead of resistance is futile.
Yeah. Be willing to grieve for who you have been, for, you know, what you've created. You've created things that maybe you're going to let go of, and that it's okay to grieve those things or to grieve those old identity structures that you've been holding. It's okay to take some time for that.
Mm-hmm. I will also say, like, please consider this your little permission slip of it's okay at times to not know what you're doing and to admit that, or to, like, you know, I want to say this particularly from the perspective of an entrepreneur and as someone who, you know, I took most of 2020 as a sabbatical, and that was, I took probably a few weeks to lean into it, really, but, like, there's so much dogma, honestly, in the entrepreneurial community about the hustle and about working and about, like, you know, putting out the next thing and being profitable and blah, blah, blah. It is okay to take some space from your work or to sit and gestate things in your work. You do not constantly have to be producing. You do not constantly have to be hustling. And part of that integration space is what is going to allow really powerful transformation to come through for you. And if you're quiet enough, that's when we get to listen to the really early whispers. I will say, if we're making a lot of noise in our business, then our practice is going to have to be much louder in order to get our attention, or something big is going to happen in our lives to really kind of shake us and get our attention so that we can be in integrity with these messages that Spirit's sending our way. So if we just create space and we listen and we honor what our practice is asking for, even if it doesn't make sense to us, even if it's uncomfortable, then later we find out why.
Great. Yeah.
Those are my tips. Yeah.
And as Michelle Hockaway says, get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And be willing to take a risk and say things that seem outrageous.
Right. Even if they make you sweat on camera in front of who knows how many people, right? And knowing that, like, all of those little pieces, like, thank you, Kat, and thank you everybody for witnessing me in that experience. You helped me anchor in that identity structure a little bit more by speaking it aloud and by being witnessed and by voicing my commitment. That was a declaration. P.S. That was me declaring, all right, I am claiming this, I am stepping into this, I am listening, Spirit, I am listening to my practice, and I am ready and willing.
Yeah, and make those declarations. That's an important piece of this process, is to write it down, to say it out loud, even if you don't fully feel it yet fully, or you're really scared to admit it. Just saying it over and over again, writing it over and over again, talking to your guides, praying about it. These pieces help to anchor all of that in. Feel, what does it feel like energetically? What does it feel like to embody? What does it feel like to walk that way, to dress that way, to dance that way, and to bring in this new identity? If you're uncomfortable with it, then ask what do you need to do to help it come in more easily, which often means changing some stuff around. And like Michelle was doing, building a new altar, buying a new piece of art, creating something new in your life that's going to help you to anchor that frequency in. Because we need those anchors into our physical environment to help support us through this process.
Yep, beautiful. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us for Shape Shifting Your Practice. If you loved this episode, / you want to visit some of the other episodes that we were talking about here, we mentioned the soul activation and initiation one. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. Something like that. The soul aligned business, something. The integration episode.
There's just so many. We've lost track.
We have a lot. Yeah. This is what, 114, right? So there are 113 other episodes for you to dig into and find all sorts of good stuff. Please like, subscribe, and share any episodes that really speak to you with other people who need to hear them. We are on a mission to get this work out in the world and make it easy and accessible for those who need it. So you can find us on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. You can comment if there's something that really speaks to you. We see most of those at this point. I think there's some that sort of slip through the cracks, but we will get back to you if we see it. And if you like this work, you can donate to become a supporter. This is totally free and we don't want to charge for any episodes, but it does cost us to produce the podcast. So if you would like to, you can send us a donation to PayPal, shamansistersessions@gmail.com, or you can become a patron of our work at patreon.com/shamansistersessions, and know that every dollar is appreciated and goes directly into production of the podcast. Woohoo.
Yeah. Thanks everybody. And we will see you next time.
Thank you. Oh wait, website, joyofenergy.com, katherinebird.com. And you know, all her programs, I'm doing dragon stuff, that there's some things up and ready now and there will be more to come. So please stay tuned if you're interested in dragon stuff, and, there'll be more things that you can participate in shortly.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Michelle.
Bye.
Bye.